The Sod Show, it'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green, Fridays, 3pm, 103.2 Dublin City FM. The Sod Show, Dublin's garden radio show. The Sod Show, brought to you by Green Sacks, the compostable bags for home and garden.
And welcome to another glorious weekend for gardening in Ireland. And in, I have to say, what a wonderful calendar of events we have. It is the kickoff for Bloom. We will be discussing that as we did last week and so much more on this week's Sod Show. If you wish to get in touch, you can do so via Twitter. Use the hashtag Sod Show. That's S-O-D-S-H-O-W. I'll try that again. That's S-O-D-S-H-O-W. You can also get us and the listening details, podcasts, etc. via blog.donneganlandscaping.com. That's blog.donneganlandscaping.com, where you can find details on how to get us in iTunes, etc. Also in studio, I have to say, is my co-host Brian Green. Brian, how art thou?
I'm grand and I'm here. It's amazing to be here and live with you.
I can see you.
Yes.
I can see you across the room. Normally, I felt like a guest on my own show. It was a little bit of a phone in. You'll notice a bit of a turnaround and things and how they've been done. Hey, on our way in, you were telling me that you ended up with your boots, well, your new boots that are now about six months old, went a little bit green.
Yeah, just to say that phone in was more like a phone out from time to time. But yes, new listeners to the Sod Show don't know that one of the presenters is a landscape gardener of many years and lots of awards and all that kind of stuff down in Bloom. But I know nothing about gardening and don't, for a whole year, haven't done any, right? But now I've started planting and I've got three plant pots on my windowsill and I got my boots. You know that way when you cut the grass and you get a bit of green on your boots and wherever, you get it every day.
My boots are like relations of Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, well, I got my lovely clean Gellert boots, all kind of pebble dashed with grass and stuff, and it's just like, it's an unusual look for me, and it actually looks like, oh, he looks like part of the Sod Show now because he looks like that foot.
He does not, folks, he does not.
But the grass was about 24 inches, that's 2 foot tall, before it got cut. So
some people call that biodiversity, Brian. You are aware of that?
I was heading in that direction, yes.
Yes, okay.
I was able to kind of relax and say, I'm doing something for the environment, because they do that in St. Anne's. They let it grow kind of 3 foot tall now, and it's for the...
That's St. Anne's Park in Raheny.
It's for the birds and it's for the wildlife and it's all good. So somewhere in between looks like you're just being lazy, but a nicely cut lawn is it's much better. And when we got that rain there at the mid of the week, wonderful, because it was a bit dried out.
Yeah, we've had our critics of the show, which are entirely allowed. And I say critics in the sense that I think when myself and Brian came to air, we did, I think the tagline was we were Dublin's loudest garden radio show, or sorry, the loudest garden radio show in the world. And I think in that context, the point was that you had somebody who literally and quite honestly knew nothing about gardening whatsoever. And then, of course, myself. At the same token, I think it does, and people tend and do say to me on a quite regular basis that they don't feel out of place listening to the Sod Show as a garden radio show, in the context that I think you tend to make them feel good about themselves, and that's not to be insulting.
While we have a bit of time, actually, did you think it would take a year for me to kind of immerse myself into just some things gardening? And I've had a spectacular failure, which we'll get to discuss, but it took about a year to get there.
Well, discuss your spectacular failure, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, so you've followed this over the last 4 or 5 weeks on the show, but I took to putting some potting clay into three small plastic pots, no bigger than the small cup of water I'm drinking at the moment, just a little bit bigger than that, Peter, see this size? And in it, I put two bulbs, and in a third one, I put some seeds. And I was expecting growth in 10 to 14 days, and 10 to 14 days happened, and I talked to you about it and said, nothing's happening. And what I have managed to grow is is moss. I have moss growing on the top of three pots. It's nice moss, but that's all I've got is green moss, and nothing's grown out of it. And I think we know why, is because my bulbs were a little bit on the
well. Horticulturally, we do know why. But I've also made this mistake. The difference is, and this sounds a little bit funny, and I think when we did the show on kids gardening, and we had Mia Gold back on, and she was talking about cucumbers, and then I think we had Ellie on, and Ellie was talking about, you know, growing her own seeds in the schools program. And I noted to you that your horticultural skills are now comparable with that of a five-year-old, where the five-year-old is actually winning.
Yeah.
And also, for those who read my blog, I'm sorry, Brian, I'm not laughing at you on this, and I really haven't, but I did note on my own blog that I had done some kids gardening things where my daughter was 2 years old, and for her birthday, all of the presents, they were Peppa Pig wheelbarrows, and they were, I think there was some colourful seeds that you plant that attract butterflies, and another one that attracts bees. So obviously we didn't plant the bees one near the swings, and we didn't plant the butterflies one near the vegetable plots, because if you know the life cycle of a butterfly from intercert says he junior cert, potentially if you're listening via podcast, but that it would be a caterpillar at some point in time and therefore eat the vegetables. But it was amazing to see when I got talking to other parents how they had done their own bits of gardening with their kids. But I honestly never believed that you would do anything other with gardening than tech a radio show, produce a radio show.
Okay, well, if I compare my spectacular failure in that, which I'm not going to give up on, I'm going to get back on the horse and try again. But it's like in business, if you have a spectacular failure, you've got this great opportunity to learn from it, and you feed that back into your next attempt. Should I go for the post-mortem of go inside there and see what didn't work? Why was it not happening? Or should I just kind of bin that and get better bulbs, get a better deal or get a better supplier?
Well, the whole thing, when I started gardening with my granddad, and this is a story that I've told many, many times, but it's... there's method in my madness in this one. So the first year I helped my granddad, you might say, sow the seeds, and I handed them to him and he put them in the hole, and that was fine. And year two, I went out and I remember saving up my pocket money, and I dug these trenches that were 3 foot deep, and then I picked up the seed and I put it into the bottom and filled it in. And of course, they never saw the light of day. But I remember going down to the library with my sister to try and find a horticultural reference book that would tell me the answer, at a time when libraries are places to be quiet and you shouldn't speak and children shouldn't be heard and all of those things. But no, they're not, actually, I have to say. But, you know, that's what it was all about. It was more for me. I never minded things failing. It was more the understanding why it didn't go according to plan. And it was the proving almost to myself that I could do it again and that you have another go. So I never have a problem with anything dying on me. And things do. I put in 6 sunflower seeds into a large pot out my back garden. I got 2. Well, I'll rephrase it. 4 came up. 4 germinated. That's fine. So that's 66% succession rate, so to speak. In between that, the slugs ate 2. So I'm now left with 2 that are tall enough to, you might say, stave off the slugs.
So I should just get over it and get on with it and do it again. And May is gone. We're into June. It's funny weather. But can I still plant? Can I still?
Yeah, well, you would have had a contrary couple of seasons leading up to it. Germination point for most seeds, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, germination point for most seeds is 12 to 14 Celsius. So when you're watching the weather, girls, on TG Cahir, it's raining men. What you're looking for is Martin King saying, listen, it's 14, 17, 19, 20 something Celsius.
Well, it's always more on my windowsill.
Brian, I don't know why it's always warmer on your windowsill. I assume
sun,
because
it's
you're
south
facing.
It's a sun trap.
But there is a bit where you do need to make sure you do have, in sowing seeds particularly, that you have good stock of seeds. Yes, that's number one. Number two, that you have clean compost. And I say clean compost, stuff that hasn't been reused over and over again. Number three, if you are reusing, my apologies, old pots, I tend to sterilise mine with Milton, the baby fluid, just for the sake of infectious diseases, pests, that kind of stuff. And then it's the planting. Then it's the planting of the seed. Now, don't get me wrong, if you look at my grandmother's way of doing it, she was the type of lady who just put something in the ground, green-fingered as it used to be known, put something in the ground and it grew.
That was all new stuff when it was bought.
Yes.
But the problem was, it was probably 12 months ago in Tesco or something.
Hey, let me give you a quote here, just to sidetrack slightly. This is from today's Irish Times, reported by Alison Healy. And on the note of Bloom, she refers to a conversation that our own president, Mr. Michael D, had at the Bloom Festival. And I'll quote this as it reads from the bottom paragraph on, I'm not too sure, page 3, I believe it is. Bord Bia, quote, Chief Executive Aidan Cotter promises him that they would not be rowdy neighbours. But Mr. Higgins said the coming of the festival heralded the arrival of summer. I see it, he says, in the same way as one season follows another. Bloom is coming again, and that is the way it should be. Allowing himself a reflection on absurdity, he called for a national day for all those north and east facing balconies that never get the sun. Quote, what an extraordinary thing for our builders to do, to place so many opportunities facing due north, he said to laughter. Mr. Higgins said all the good news he was hearing recently was about Irish success and food and our natural resources. And I think that is an amazing piece of writing, and also quotes from our very own president.
We did anticipate on last year's show that it was President McAleese's last Bloom. And she'd been with it since its inception six years ago.
Yes, indeed.
And now this is the sixth year, and it's Michael D's first Bloom.
Mm.
Do you think he's going to kind of take it up like the ex-president McAleese did?
I'm not too sure. I think there might be something. I was going to say maybe there's a difference in styles, maybe because of being from the Galway direction or the Galway point of things, and maybe there's some kind of piece to play in that. But then I think when we spoke to Gary Gloss, Gary Sheel and Ihanena from TG Cahir's programme, our last show was airing just this week, I believe, is that correct, Sheila? But I think, you know, you talk to Sheila and you realise, well, no, it's just, I suppose, the environment around, or the natural landscape surrounding, maybe a little bit different, and maybe we just live a little bit too much in suburbia.
Well, he can't avoid Bloom because there's 90,000 people heading for his back garden in the Phoenix Park, and that's all this weekend. If you want to get yourself down there, the easiest way to go is get in on public transport and get the shuttle bus from Parkgate Street all the way to the front door of Bloom. And you should have booked your tickets early because they were the cheapest, but you can keep on paying and booking right up to the door, I think.
You can indeed, yeah. And I think Gary Graham said that to us on last week's show. If you do want to get the cheapest tickets, do go online, and I think they're quite discounted on that there, yes. But well worthwhile. That's bloominthepark.com for that and all other details.
Okay, we're going to go for Sod Show's Song of the Week, and it's a bit of a special one this week. We haven't had a Sod Show Song of the Week on a live show in a long time, but let's have a listen to something from the Pogues. And it's very slow to start, but gets very high tempo and summery. This is Fiesta. I want the Sod Show listeners dancing around.
Oh, this is, I can see children
gardens
in the backs of cars driving through Dublin City, just about to go.
Give
ballistic.
It loads. This is the Sod Show Song of the Week, Fiesta from the Pogues.
Say
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, and The Pogues. Fiesta is our Sod Show song of the week. You can call us or text us on 087-977-1032, and it's on Twitter, #SodShow. At Dublin City FM is also which you can follow for the station's Twitter announcements.
Okay, yeah, and we've some, since we said it in the first half, we do have some notes in. The first is from Valerie Hughes. It's DIY Clontarf, grow it yourself Clontarf, and they just want to let people to know that they will be trying to grow their own vegetables, or sorry, encouraging people to try to grow their own vegetables, and they're meeting in Raheny Library. That's at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 21st of June. Their speaker will be none other than Trevor Sargent, who will give advice on growing your own vegetables in a small garden. Trevor, as we are well aware, also was up with the gentlemen of the Inish Food Festival. Other than that, I do have to say, note in there from Ian Price Design. Ian is based up in Antrim. He is at Ian Price Design on Twitter. If you follow the hashtag Sodshow, there's a link there for his website. If you are in touch with Ian, do let him know that you were talking to us. Also had a note in from Bláthain Ní Gilarua. And Bláthain just sent me, it's a really nice story. It's about James Priest. He is the Englishman who cares for Monet's garden. It's an absolutely beautiful story. James Priest discusses his stewardship of the Giverny, is that correct? G-I-V-E-R-N-Y garden that inspired some of Claude Monet's most famous paintings. Again, check the hashtag Sodshow. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Also, we did say that we would note our new sponsor. We do have an extended podcast interview to come. I will let you know about that via the hashtag Sodshow. Maybe towards, I'd say maybe after next week's show, we will go for that. But surprisingly, in my extensive research, Google, what we did realize was that the Green Sacks products are in fact sold all over the world, and their customers include none other than our very own the Aviva Stadium, Croke Park, Wembley Stadium, the Convention Centre, Real Madrid FC and Glastonbury Music Festival. Go check that out. That's greensacks.ie website/website/about, and again I will pimp that out on the Twitter page.
Also to mention that there's a documentary on tonight on RTE1 television, and that's from Bloom with Morning Ireland's Anya Lawler and Ella McSweeney and others, and they'll be doing a little trip around the show. So you'll have Saturday, Sunday and Monday to get down there if you want to have a little sampler of it tonight at 7:30 on RTÉ 1 television.
Also a nice shout out to Mr. Bernie Goldbach. He is at Top Gold on Twitter, and Bernie says that he is listening to us via TuneIn Radio, and he has noted gardening failures. I'm not too sure whether that's in reference to Brian or Brian and myself, Bernie, but good to know that you are there, says he with a wee little wink and a smile.
Yes, and we are streaming on the internet, so if you're in Cashel in Tipperary, or if you're in California, United States of America, you can tune into the Sod Show anytime.
Or up in Antrim with Ian Price Designs. None other than that, I got to give you a cracker. I put a note out on the Facebook page. In my front garden, I do have a tree called De Laburnum, L-A-B-U-R-N-U-M. If you are near Google, stick in, flick to the images page, and just put in Laburnum, L-A-B-U-R-N-U-M, in flower, and go check it out. The long yellow pendulums of flowers. It is just, talk about 1st of June, summer has arrived.
Briefly back to my problem.
It's always your problems, Brian. It's always your problems. I know people say we're like an old married couple, but this is kind of... Yeah. Talk to me, Brian. Tell me things.
I want to know, will you supply me with some good stuff?
That's a very dubious question, Brian.
You know what I mean. We're talking...
Yes.
Bulbs. Oh. We're talking seed. What can you get me some stuff? Can you arrange... And I'll get more pots and then I'll do it. But can you get me some good stuff?
I remember about 33 and a half shows ago, me talking to you about beetroot, and this isn't to be disrespectful, but you did ask me, what does a beetroot look like?
I did.
Yeah. I'm going to give you beetroot seeds and let you grow your own.
How big a pot would I need?
I'll give you the pots as well, Brian.
Okay.
I'll give you the pots as well. I'll make sure they're clean pots. I'll make a Brian Greens grow your own kit.
But I have to put the seed in, yes? Or is it not a seed, it's a bulb?
Seed, no seed. It's a seed. It's a seed. Yeah, you have to put the seed into the compost and keep it watered.
You grow beetroot from a seed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you grow beetroot from a seed. We need to get Mia Golbach back on the airwaves. 5-year-old Mia Golbach and her gorgeous red hair.
Work for June.
My sister Jackie.
We are the 1st of June, yeah. And we have a month ahead. So what are people to be doing in their garden this month?
Okay, month. What I have been doing, a lot of people say leave this for the off season. I disagree entirely. The biggest problem I have, my workshop /shed, large shed, let's call it that, is made of timber. I couldn't, just for the life of me, have gone steel. And I've gone on to a maintenance program. Now, just bear with me here, because I know this isn't green and flowers and petunias and all of that kind of stuff, but there is method in my madness. I'd never understood people painting sheds while it was nothing but non-stop rain and dampness in the October latter months of the year, even though it was the quieter year and it's the point in time where you should be doing these things. What I have found over the last couple of years with the heat and the very cold is that the wood is starting to kind of try and turn itself, twist itself, and it's starting to pop out the nails. So I went down to your neighbour's Grange Builders Providers and got myself some 4-inch screws. Deck screws will do it exactly or quite well as well, and I've started to screw the timbers back on to the uprights of it. I've also started treating it and then filling in the holes that I created then with a wood glue, an outdoor wood glue, and then sand it down and a little paint over that as well. So that's on the shed side of it. It's also, funnily enough, my chicken coop is actually a 6x4 standard shed, and the same thing is starting to happen on that. The timbers are actually starting to buckle, so I need to go around the whole thing and do that. If you do get a chance, and again, lash on the wood preservative. If you're asking me for one that I recommend, it would be a product called Lumberjack. It almost comes in an old steel type petrol can. I was asked last week about building mulch heaps as well. Depending on the size of garden you have, I think they're an absolutely great idea. Yes, there are arguments over the rodents being attracted into your garden, but at the same token, and I double underline this, I have never used my brown bin, not ever. My green bin. That's the one for the green waste clippings, isn't it?
Yes. No, the brown is for the clippings. The green is for the paper in Fingal.
The whole lot. Okay.
And Dublin City.
Now, I will rephrase this because I know our sponsors are Green Sacks. I do use the Green Sacks bags for my own work, for the commercial work, and that's a really smart thing to do, particularly when I'm putting it into my own vehicle. That makes perfect sense. At the same token, in my own garden, we do use the green waste from the kitchen, goes into the smaller Green Sacks sack. That's Sacks with an X, by the way. So I do use it on that, but I don't use it for the hedgerow clippings from around the garden because I have about an acre and it's a bit too
big.
But
your point is you don't put them in a brown bin, you just put them on a mulch pile somewhere.
I put them on a mulch heap. So I have kind of the best of both worlds. Kitchen waste, yes, do it on that. In other people's gardens where I'm taking it out and I must go to green waste, yes, the green sacks absolutely work. But at the same token, I think there's, in my own garden, I tend not to, and I also use a mulching mower. I was asked as well this week about greenhouses. Great idea. Do go for it. Do get one. If I'm being really wise about this, you got to make the greenhouse, the glasshouse or the polytunnel, a place where it's good to go. So if Brian Green was to try and get into gardening and he wanted to get himself a greenhouse, first thing I would say to Brian is put a kettle in it and put a radio in it, like a man house for man things, for man people to go.
Can I make a point then on greenhouses? Yes. Right, it's June and it's 2012 and you're thinking of, I think I'll get a potting shed, or I have a potting shed, I think I'll get a greenhouse. To justify it, think of those people who are getting TVs and whatnot for the Euro finals, right? You get yourself, if you're not into football, get yourself a greenhouse.
I see housewives all over Ireland, as assuming that is the housewife doesn't watch football and therefore prefers to be outside, like our good friend Dee Sewell, saying, you got your big plasma, I'm getting the new Poly Superdome, mate. And that's just that. There you go. If you are looking for other things to do in the garden, quick one on this one. I had notes in this week regarding planting basil seeds in jam jars. The very, very easy thing to do. It came from, actually, Orla McDermott was saying something I'd blogged maybe about a year ago. Jam jar, fill it with compost, scatter a couple of basil seeds on top. If you're also doing that, I grew quite successfully. I was amazed at how quickly they grew up. Chili seeds, you'll get them at any great garden centre or hardware store. But chili seeds are another good one. They look great even if you never eat them. And outside, simply get yourself a hanging basket, fill it with compost and scatter some parsley seeds on top and you will be absolutely cracking. Great weekend to try and get outside as well.
Time has caught up with us, but we're ready to wrap show number 67.
I'm feeling old. It's nearly your 70th birthday, Brian.
What I was going to say is iTunes, a little bit slow with the podcast last week, and that was down to the guys over in Apple, but hopefully they'll have speeded it up and you'll get your podcast from about 6 p.m. this evening from the usual location. Check out the show notes on donaghanlandscaping.com, blog.donaghanlandscaping.com. See you on Twitter at @HoshSodShow.
Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green-fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you.
The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m., Dublin City FM.